I'm going to open up with two brief stories. I shared them last week. We have several people who were here this, are they here this week, but not last week, just so you get some context. So my wife had shared about her story of coming to pray in the spirit or speak in tongues. And similar to her, my background, that was not part of my background at all. Was it the Holy Spirit in terms of gifts were like not really in existence very much. So I remember one day I was in Amsterdam in working in the red light district in a Christian youth hostel for an internship. And there was this guy who was working the front desk. He's a super charismatic guy. And we were like arguing about these scriptures and stuff like that. And I was taking Greek, so I was super nerdy then and didn't really believe in the work of the Spirit like that. But he basically challenged me. He said, hey, when you go to bed tonight, go pray in tongues. And I was like, whatever, bro. So I went up to the room where I was staying. I literally got on my knees at the bed and I said, okay, God, here I am. Then all of a sudden I started singing in this language I couldn't understand. And I probably did for about 10 seconds and then it stopped all of a sudden. And I was like, whoa. And I believed it because I had heard about singing in tongues, but I'd never like actually seen it done. But when I started singing in tongues, I was like, this thing's legit. And then it took me a long time to actually start practicing and developing the gift. And then when I lived in Michigan with Meredith after we got married, we were part of a Christian Reformed Church, a CRC church, which isn't really known for like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We were at this small gathering of like 20 people or so. The lead pastor was there and some other people. And someone said, I have a message to pray and to speak in tongues. And I'd never seen that before, heard it. And I was like, this is going to be really interesting. And then the lead pastor said, okay, no, you can pray in tongues. That's your gift. And then so-and-so is here and they have the spiritual gift of interpretation. So the person with tongues stood up, spoke in this language. I had no idea what they said. And I was like, that was so interesting. And they sat down. Then the person stood up and gave an interpretation. And what was crazy is the interpretation that was given was the exact message in English that was given that someone had prepared just after that. So it was like a tongue, an interpretation, and then the message of confirmation that someone had prepared in advance. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's what giving a message in tongues is all about. And it totally strengthened my faith. Like, I was so built up when I got to see that. So I was like, okay, this gift is legit. And it was pretty cool. So let's jump into the scriptures and we'll break it down a little bit more together. So verse 26 says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you. So what you can see is Paul is describing like a church. He's speaking in tongues. Interpreter, who's the interpreter? I'm just kidding. He's doing awesome. That was awesome. So Paul's describing like, hey, when you meet as the church, like there's all these different gifts that are gonna happen, right? So you got someone who's gonna sing, you got someone who's gonna give a revelation, someone who's speaking tongues, someone's gonna interpret it. So this is just kind of like, these are some of the things that happen. This isn't the exact layout of a gathering, but these are some things that will happen. So we can see that every single person who comes contributes a spiritual gift or contributes something to the gathering. So if you believe in Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him, you've received the Holy Spirit in your heart. This means that God comes to live inside of you by the Holy Spirit. And then when you have the Spirit of God in you, you get spiritual gifts. So how many of y'all like watch Avengers or X-Men? You like this, they have like superpowers. In a way, when you have the Holy Spirit, you have superpowers. Literally, they're supernatural powers because it's God. The Holy Spirit lives in you and works through you and gives these gifts. And the whole point of these gifts is to build others up. It's to help people to come know Jesus for the first time or to help them grow in their commitment and obedience to Jesus. Because, I mean, all y'all probably have a story of how God encountered you or you had encountered God in some way or someone came into your life and did something where supernatural power worked through them. And you're like, man, God is so real. He shows up. And that's the whole point of it, is that as God's people, we have these gifts to contribute to other people. So the whole goal of this is that people are strengthened and built up. So think about it like this. Think about if you didn't come. Think about if you didn't come. What are other people missing out on? Like, we literally are all part of the body. You ever played like when you're growing up as a kid and you play something with two hands, but then you had to put one arm behind your back and keep playing the game? You know how much harder it got? That's what it's like when parts of Jesus' body don't come to gather together. It's like we're playing with one arm or one hand because everybody contributes something. Because it's so cool, like during our connect question or like before or after our gathering, like people are just talking and hanging out. And I kind of walk by and hear conversations. I mean, at least half the conversation people are having, they're real. Like it's real life and they're talking about stuff that's going on, stuff that's hard. It's cool to see people organically just gather to pray over people. Like that's the body of Jesus. And you all have something to contribute and show up when that happens. So if you think about like Enrich Church, we've designed it as like a training center, like a spiritual CrossFit center, so that everything that we do is literally an exercise of different spiritual gifts. So how many of y'all are like super hospitable? You like love welcoming people? Anyone hospitality? A few people? Yeah. No, I think you definitely have hospitality. Yeah. So like you'll see people with hospitality, like when the new people come, the hospitality people are going over and like hugging them and welcoming them, right? So that's like our time before when we gather. Then we got like our set up, we got singing, right? So we have awesome worship team here today, like leading us into Jesus's presence that we can encounter him. Then we have the connect question. And so you see people getting to encourage each other during that time, which is cool. Because some people didn't even get to the chips question. They're like, I didn't take one because they were just talking to each other, right? And so to me, like, that's what it's about, is you're building each other up with encouragement. And then we got the Jesus at work story. So that's someone teaching or sharing testimony from their life about how Jesus has been at work. When Meredith did that today, Brianna was last week. Then we get in the DBS, right? The Discovery Bible Study. And then you start seeing some teaching gifts coming out of people sharing what God is teaching them. Then we get in the message and prayer team. So you can see that there's so many spiritual gifts that are beginning to surface, and we're creating spaces for those. And think about it like this, like if we came to gather and our posture was, man, what can I contribute to somebody else? If that's like, if you showed up to show up. Because if we all showed up saying, oh man, what's someone gonna do for me today? Man, that would be like kind of a boring gathering. We'd all be so focused on ourselves, nothing would ever happen. But everybody came saying, what can I contribute to somebody else here today? That means everybody's gonna get cross-pollinated by the Holy Spirit. What can I bring? Because then naturally people are gonna be pouring into you. So this builds into tongues. What's the whole point of speaking in tongues? It's to build others up. So the main thing is that praying or speaking in tongues is to build others up. So let's jump into verse 27 and 28 and see how this actually plays out with speaking in tongues in a corporate setting with a group of people. It says, no more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who could interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. So we see that there's two different types of tongues. There's the tongues that you do privately, and then there's the tongues that you do corporately. So Meredith has shared about private praying in tongues, and then that CRC church I shared about, that was a corporate praying in tongues. So we see that there's two types of praying in tongues. And Paul gives some guidance on how do you exercise the gift of tongues in a corporate setting. It says no more than two or three people should speak in a tongue, right? And remember, a tongue is just another word for language. And that language is going to be a language that you've never studied, that you just receive. It could be an earthly language, like another. I heard someone talking about Japanese earlier, right? So you could just all of a sudden start speaking Japanese, or you could receive like a heavenly language, like an angelic language. There's two types of languages that are listed here in this portion of scriptures. So it'll be a language that you've never studied, that you receive. And some people, you know, like Meredith shared about one guy, he just got like the whole thing all at once. And some people, it's kind of building it slowly over time. In my experience, it was building slowly over time, matured and developed. So if this is how it was going to work and enrich, this is what we would do. So one person who had a tongue would stand up and then they would speak in a tongue. Most people would be like, I have no idea what that person just said. It sounded interesting. Then someone with the interpretation would stand up and they would give the interpretation of what that tongue is. And so remember, it says interpretation. It doesn't say translation. So you're not going to do a word for word of what was said in tongues. You're going to give more of the summary translation of what was said. Now, how many of you have ever lived or like gone cross-culturally before? Anyone ever done that? Maybe even in the U.S., there's enough cultures you can like kind of weave in and out, right? So when you go into a culture, like language is super important in how people receive language and how they understand, how they interpret it from their cultural context. In the same way, when interpretation is being done, It's not that word for word translation. It's more bringing what the Spirit is saying through that to give an interpretation rather than a translation. So it says one speaks at a time. So you can see that there's order in this type of corporate setting. So if everybody here stood up and everybody starts speaking in a tongue, you'd be like, what is going on, right? So people walking by, like, those people are kind of crazy. Or they're like, they live in LA, they're all speaking the languages that they're from, right? There's so many languages around here in LA. So something that we have to understand is the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and the spiritual gift of interpretation is given by the Holy Spirit. So you can't make it up yourself. Like, there's no way that you could do it on your own. It's the Holy Spirit in you. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says that the Holy Spirit gives these different gifts. One is speaking or praying in tongues, and the other one is interpretation. So here's this. The purpose of interpretation is to interpret a message given by the Holy Spirit that was in an unknown language or an unknown tongue. And here, if you think about this, like, you're like, Jared, how do you interpret? How do you interpret? So interpreting is all about hearing God's voice. So simply interpreting is about hearing God's voice. So the more you cultivate your ability to hear God's voice for yourself and to discern God's voice, the easier interpretation is. So I have the gift of interpretation. My wife does too. So like if someone prays in tongues, we can often understand, or I can understand what I'm praying in the spirit, or what Meredith prays I can understand if I activate the gift. And the idea is that I'm simply hearing what God is speaking to me as he's giving the tongue or the language that they're praying in. And then I, in English, right, because that's my first language, would everyone understand, I would simply just say in English what was said in that tongue. Does that make sense? So we're hearing someone praying in tongue. We're receiving that message directly by the Holy Spirit with the gift of interpretation. And then we're speaking out in a language that everybody can understand. And so practice grows to maturity. So when I first started praying in tongues, it would sound like little baby gibberish. And now it's kind of like a full-on like language in a way. And even when I pray in tongues or pray in the spirit, this is the private sitting, I kind of have like a general praying in tongues. And then when I start like worshiping and praying in tongues, the tongues changes to like a worship or praise tongues. And then when I do spiritual warfare, there's a whole nother set of tongues, like a whole nother language comes out of me. It's actually really interesting. When that comes out. And so I've prayed over time, like, Holy Spirit, will you help me understand what I'm praying when I pray in the Spirit? Because I want to know what I'm praying. And as I've been consistent and faithful to, like, pray that and to learn, I can almost, like, a majority of the time I can interpret what I'm praying in the Spirit. So speaking and interpreting, it grows over time. You practice. So if I spoke in a tongue right now, who would interpret for us? Someone will give it a go. All right, that's great. And that's what I was getting at. It's practice, right? So you would practice what it is. Don't worry, I'm not putting you on the spot. I won't pray in the spirit right now and put you on the spot. But I wanted to see if people were like, oh, do I have the gift of interpretation? Because I can guarantee you that at Enrich Church, somebody has the gift of interpretation. Here's why. Because the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that the Spirit of God distributes the gifts to the whole body. That means our whole body, we will have all the spiritual gifts. Because we're a body, we're a church. So everybody's going to have a gift that has all the gifts listed in Scripture. So I can guarantee that there is someone here, or actually probably multiple people, that have the ability to interpret a tongue that was spoken. What's also important is training and vetting, right? Training and vetting. So you gotta train in your spiritual gifts, and then you have to vet people. Being a part of other churches, I can understand some of the concern if someone is going to give like a prophetic word corporately to like a large group or interpret a tongue. Because there's the potential, right, that they could say whatever they want to a group of people. And then who's going to be able to like discern that or say, actually, that's inaccurate. So there is some like, how do you practice this in a really healthy way? And so if/when we would do this at a church, the people that would ever give a tongue, they would have gone through training and vetting by me and Meredith, maybe a few other people, where we would actually practice with them privately before we would ever let somebody do a corporate tongue and a corporate interpretation. So this is practically what it would look like. You'd be like, Jared, I think I have the gift of interpretation. I would say, awesome. I'm going to pray in the spirit right now, and you're going to interpret what I'm saying. I'm being serious. Because you want to start small, right? Before you go big. And so if you're like, I want to grow in the gift of interpretation, there are a handful of people here who pray in the spirit. I know I do. Meredith does. Laura does too. Anthony, Brianna. Selah does. So I think Brittany does too. So there's a handful of people that, and even from last week, I think there's like 3 to 5 people who've started now praying in tongues since last week's message that weren't prior. They just started practicing and they're seeing it activated. And what was cool, this is cool too. When they were telling me about it, they said they were just practicing praying in tongues, but then they started seeing things happen in their life. That was a response to it. They're like, whoa, I was praying in tongues. And then like I had this like divine appointment with this person that they recognized was connected by praying in the spirit. So what we would do is I'd say, hey, let's practice. We'll practice small. And then you want to practice like on your, starting on your own, right? So praying in the spirit on your own, saying, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm praying. And then you would work with me or some of our team that we've trained to practice that small, in small group. And then since the scriptures say, you know, don't forbid people from praying in tongues, we wouldn't forbid it. What we would do, it was we would do it under the guidance and leadership of the leadership of the church, right? So then if someone came to me and said, hey, I have a tongue, I would, you know, be thinking to myself, have we trained you? Have we vetted you? And do we have an interpreter that's also been trained and vetted? So we would have these things in place that would create a healthy space for us to practice this gift. So here are 4 filters. If you're like, all right, I'm going to interpret someone's tongue, I'm going to interpret my own tongues. Here are 4 things that you could write down if you want. These are really important if you're going to have an interpretation. So does the interpretation, does it align with scripture? So the interpretation that you receive from a tongue, it always has to align with scripture. If it contradicts scripture, it's not accurate interpretation. So it'll always align with what the Bible says. The second thing is, does it glorify Jesus? Does the interpretation glorify Jesus? Because if it's pointing to the person who's praying in tongues or to another person, you know that's not a correct interpretation, because a person is never lifted up above Jesus. Jesus is always the one who's lifted up in our worship gatherings. The other thing is, does it produce good fruit? Does it produce good fruit? So if someone came here and gave an interpretation that caused a division among someone's marriage or division in our gathering, right? That's not good fruit. We would say, okay, first, we're gonna correct that. And second, we're going to have to like help you get some guidance in growing in healthy interpretation. And we would vet that even before that stuff came up. And then the 4th thing, so I know you're writing it down. So align with scripture, glorify Jesus, produce good fruit. And then can others confirm what is said? Can others confirm what is said? So, because it talks about the Bible that on the account of 2 or 3 witnesses, right? So can other people affirm or confirm what is being interpreted by the person praying in tongues? So how many of y'all want the gift of interpretation? Okay, a few hands. How many of you are like, I would do it if the Holy Spirit was like, hey, I want you to have this gift? I saw you over there. How many of y'all want to pray in the Spirit, receive a spiritual language that you would have from the Holy Spirit? What's cool about that is that I really believe that anybody can receive their spiritual language, which they pray in the Spirit. It's just basically your spirit is praying and your mind is being bypassed. I shared this last week. There was, if you look this up, it's like ABC News Medical Praying in Tongues. If you Google that or YouTube it, in the 90s, they did this, ABC News did this research study on praying in tongues. And they literally hooked people up to like machines when they were praying in tongues and were observing their brain like scientifically. And the front part of their brain that activates speech actually turned off while they were praying in the Spirit. It's very interesting. So when you pray in the Spirit, it's your spirit that's praying. And Mary said it so well, that you're praying in accordance with God's will, from what it says in Romans. Yeah. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to do a simple prayer for us, and then we're going to take communion as a church as our 4th Sunday. I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, will you activate the gifts that you want in your people? So let's take a moment and just prepare your heart and say, Holy Spirit, whatever gift you want me to have, like, I want to receive that gift so I can build others up in your church and I can help people know you more, either for the first time or just in a deeper relationship with you. So take a moment and prepare your heart. And if there's anything you feel like you need to surrender or anything you need to get out of the way in your life with you and Jesus, take a moment to do that. And then I'm going to pray a simple prayer that the Holy Spirit just grows in your life. All right, I'm going to pray a simple prayer over you and you just receive from the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that when we believe in Jesus and surrender our lives to him, you come and live inside of us. So thank you that we're temples of you, Holy Spirit. Our bodies are temples. And so we thank you that the God of the universe, you live in us by your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you give gifts these spiritual gifts, these like supernatural powers in which you work through us to impact people's lives, either Jesus, to come to know Jesus for the first time, or to grow in a deeper commitment and obedience to him. So Holy Spirit, we want everything that you have for us, individually and as a church, for our families, for our city, and for SoCal. And we know, Holy Spirit, we can't do it apart from you. So Holy Spirit, for those that are hungering and thirsting for more, would you give them more of what you have for them? And those that are like, man, I'm not really hungry, Holy Spirit, I'm just want to know more about this. Holy Spirit, would you grow them in a greater desire to know you more, and grow them in like an understanding of what you have for them? So Holy Spirit, would you unlock every single spiritual gift right now that you are releasing to your body here at Enrich Church, or to those who are listening to this recording in the future? And Holy Spirit, specifically today with this text, we ask that you would unlock the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit, that you would activate people's prayer language right now. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd also activate the gift of interpretation for people to be able to clearly interpret a message in tongues so that the body of Jesus can be built up and that people can come to know him for the first time, as we see in Acts chapter 2. So Holy Spirit, this is you who does it. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would simply unlock these gifts, and that you would deposit them in your people, and any other spiritual gifts now, Holy Spirit, that you want to unlock. Leadership, faith, healing, miracles, administration, helps or service, prophecy. Holy Spirit, any other gifts that you want to unlock, we ask that you would release those and unlock those right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
So, I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians 11, where it talks about the Lord's Supper. But yes, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I'm sure you guys have heard that before, but there's a next section that the Apostle Paul added. It says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For any of you who eats and drinks without discerning the body and eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are ill and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the Lord." So this passage is saying that before you take communion, to really reflect on the cross of Christ and also reflect on your life in relation to that. For communion is for people who have fully surrendered their life to Christ. And so if that's you, then you're totally welcome to take it. If that's not you, we would love to talk to you more about that. But just remember to reflect before taking it.
So with your communion cup, we have the bread, which represents Jesus' body that was broken for you. And it says in the Word, 1 Peter 2:24, that by his wounds you're healed, that you were healed. So that when you receive the broken body of Jesus, he actually restores and heals your life. So by faith we receive it, and we give Jesus thanks for his body being broken for our healing. Next we have the juice, which represents Jesus' blood that was spilled out, his blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus, he wipes away all your sins, past, present, and future, so that when the Father, when God looks at you, he actually sees you through Jesus' blood, and he restores you to a relationship with him, and he calls you a daughter or a son. So let's take the juice in remembrance that Jesus' blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So let's pray to close our gathering. Jesus, we're so grateful that we can gather in your name. Thank you that you are our God, you are our King, you are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our friend. So Jesus, we humble ourselves before you with acknowledgement that we're completely dependent on you. We need you, Jesus, in everything. And that's what communion represents, our complete dependence on you for salvation. So Jesus, I pray that you would strengthen your body here at Enrich Church. I pray that you'd build us up to make us strong and healthy. And Jesus, I pray that as the gifts are given out by your Spirit, that you would give people boldness and courage to exercise those gifts, to love people, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up. And that we would see momentum continue to build and increase as we gather. And the important for us to gather weekly in your name, Jesus, that it's about worshiping you and building up your body, building each other up, so we can continue to live for you, Jesus, throughout the week to make disciples and reach people who don't know you. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come upon everyone, that you'd fill everyone now, giving us empowerment to live in obedience to Jesus, and that you would fill us with your fire and with the zeal of the Lord. Jesus, I pray that you'd go before every single person this week. I pray for divine appointments. I pray for open doors of opportunity. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for encounter with your love and your power that brings transformation for each person here, and for our families, and for our coworkers, and for our neighbors, that wherever we go, that Jesus, your love and your power breaks out through your Spirit around us and through us. Jesus, I also ask your protection over everyone here this week. Thank you, Jesus, that we're under your blood and that we are protected. So, Father, thank you that you are our shield and you are our sword. And, Father, I ask that you would assign a legion of angels to each person here for your kingdom and gospel purposes. So, God, would you give us great hope and great vision for the life that you've given us, and each day we live for you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.